Agutavach, everybody. Last time we were in the middle of a pasuk. Umi'il katzayin tasa lo'imai. Shmuel's mother would make him a small coat. V'hal saloim yamin yamima. And she would bring it up to him from time to time. Ba'aloisha es isha, when she would go up with her husband. Lizbayach es zevach hayamin, to bring the korbanis for the yamin tayvin. The Yalkut Me'amloyes brings down over here, Umi'il katzayin. The Navi is Magyish. The Navi puts an accent on the fact that it was a mil cotton. She bought him a small coat, but not all kinds of tasty goods. Mother's home-baked cooking, the chocolate chip cookies, with the apple pie and the cocker's cake, that she didn't bring. Even though she loved her son very much, but she didn't want to spoil him. She didn't want him to have a tie to the gashmius of the home, to his house. She was Magdish him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For a regular child, I remember as a boy, we waited anxiously for those packages to come from home with the cookies and mother's home baking. But that's for a regular person, which is a healthy thing. But she lent him, she gave him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should serve in the Mishkan. She didn't want to give him those Tanugei Olam Hazeh. So the simple necessity, she made him a Me'il Katayin, but more than that, she didn't bring. And that's for her mother. It's interesting. Interesting vart for the Ksav Sofer. Says the vart by the mitzvah Shiluach Hakein. It says Shalech the Shalach Es Ha'Aim Va'Bonim Tikach Loch. You know, the tendency of the mother is to always have rachmanis on the child. You know, let him sleep a little bit longer. You know, let him take it easy. And the father is usually the fellow that's tougher on the kid. Sometimes you have a father that will also have rachmanis on the kid. So the Torah says Shalech the Shalach Es Ha'Aim. Send away the mother in you. Va'Bonim Tikach Loch. Take the children into your own hands. But there's a Maimidika lesson over here. There's a Maimidika Vilna Gain. On the Pasuk, Ki Ovi V'imi Azavuni B'Hashem Ya'asveni. My father and mother had forsaken me, and Hashem will take me in. Various tatum on that. But I just want to mention the Vilna Gain that's Negeya to Arab Shat over here. The Vilna Gain says that the words father and mother, Ovi V'imi, is a code word for Tanugei Olam Hazeh. Because the tendency of a father and a mother, especially when the child is younger, they offer him treats, they buy him toys, they buy him games, and they pamper the child. That's the tendency of parents. Memele, Ov Va'Aim is a code word for Tanugei Olam Hazeh. Ki Ovi V'imi Azavuni, when I leave go of the Tanugei Olam Hazeh, the Hashem Ya'asveini, then Hashem will gather me in. The key to becoming close to Hashem, of course, is not Chas V'Shalom to leave the father and the mother. Adarabba, we want to catch her with our parents. But that code word of Tanugei Olam Hazeh, when a person leaves the Tanugei Olam Hazeh and he realizes what's really important in life, then v'Hashem Yasveini. It's the same thing the Torah says in Parshas Bereishis. Al ken yazov adam es ovi ve'es imai. The Dovak the Ishtai. That's also a hidden message over there. Ovi V'imai is the Tanugei Olam Hazeh. Ishtai is the wife of the Talmud Chacham. That's referring to Eishes Chayil Miyimtza, is referring to the Torah. The key to becoming attached to the Torah is Alkein Yazav Odin Es Ovi V'es Imai. To leave the Tanugei Olam Hazeh, the more a person is disattached from Gashmius, the more he becomes attached to the Torah, the more he becomes attached to Ruchnius. And the Vilna Gaon also says in Megillas Esther, the Torah says, Uvemois Oviha V'ima. We know her father and mother died. Esther's father and mother died. And it says, Ki Ein Lo Ov Va'Aim. It repeats it. So the Gaon says that that's the Pshat. Ki Ein Lo Ov Va'Aim. She never received the Tanugim of Olam Hazeh. She was brought up by Mordechai in a totally Ruchniyazdik way. And therefore, she's Esther. She belongs to the hidden world, to the Ruchniyazdik world. And that is the way she was able to bring about a Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. This is what Chana wanted for her son over here. Regular children were part of the household. But Shmuel was special. He was sent off to the Beis HaMikdash to be Meshareis Hashem. On him it shayach these words, Ki Ovi V'imi Azavuni, that the Tanugei Olam Hazeh, those state that they kept away from him, and the male he was able to grow in Ruchnius. That that the pasuk says v'halsa loy miyamin yamima, she brought him up a coat every yontif. There are different shatim over here exactly what happened. The mitzvah says that every yontif she would bring him up a new beged. In other words, he wore the beged throughout the year, and every yontif she would bring him up a new beged according to the amount that he had grown. The Radak says it was the very same coat, but she didn't leave the me'il by him for the whole year because it was not the derech for young boys to wear such a choshev me'il. The covered yantif, she used to bring it to him that he should wear it. So, according to this, you'll have to say that she altered it every time. She altered it according to the amount that he grew. I also mentioned last time, the Medrash Tanchuma says that there was only one me'il, and the same me'il seems to have grown along with him. The me'il, the coat that he had l'chatchila when he was a boy, was the same me'il that he wore as he grew older and older. Either you could learn that it grew with him, or you could say it was the same type of a me'il. Just because he became more choshev, he didn't put on a more choshev beged. He remained the same simple person as he was when he was a young child. And this despite the fact that the Gemara says in the Sechtes Nedarim that Shmuel Hanavi was a very wealthy man. So according to his wealth, he could have worn a fancier coat. That same me'il remained with him from the beginning till the end. He remained in his same simplicity. We also mentioned last time a chat from the Be'er Moshe that says that the me'il koton was a covering of anove. His mother was mechanachim in the midah of anove. That was the me'il, that was the beged that he wore with him, and that remained with him for the rest of his life. So it could be that that's the connotation over here. The hasul and yomim yomimah, she used to come up every yontif and once again reinforce that inyan. No matter how great you become, you have to remain a tremendous honor. Uberach Eli es Elkanah ve'es Yishtai, and Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife. V'omar, and he would say, Yosem Hashem v'chozera min ha'isha hazois. May Hashem give you children from this wife. Tachas hasha'ela hasha'shol al Hashem. Instead of as payment for the lending that you lent Hashem. V'hochulim kami, they would go back to the place of Elkanah. Rashi says that this was the bracha that Eli would give them every single year. And the Radak explains, because they had given away their son to Hashem. Parents have nachas from their children. Number one, they get to be mesameach with them. They enjoy the kids when they're younger. They're cute. They grow older. When their mamas get older, they're able to help their parents out. And in the parents' old age, the children are able to help. But this they gave away. They gave away their oldest son to the Mishkan, to the Beit HaMikdash, to serve Hashem. So Eli gave them a bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will compensate you. He'll give you other children to take care of in your old age. The Medrash also says that Eli gave them the bracha. Bonim she'osel HaKadosh Baruch Hu litnu lecha yiyu min ha-tzadeikis hazayis. He saw that this union of Elkanah and his wife Hannah brought such fruits. She gave him a bracha that the other children you should have should be from this tzadeikis, and the children will be tremendous nachas to you and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki fokad Hashem es Hannah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered Hannah. Batahar, she conceived Vatela Shloisha Bonim Ushtei Bonois. She had three sons and two daughters. Vayigdal Hanar Shmuel Im Hashem. Whereas the other children, they grew up in the house. Shmuel remained growing up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu here. The Eli Zokein Ma'oit. Eli was very old. Vishoma Eiskol Asher Yasun Bonov L'chol Yisrael. He heard everything that his sons did to all of Klal Yisrael. The Eis Asher Yishkubun as Hanoshim Hatzayvais Pesach Oil Ma'id, and that they committed znus. That's the way it would seem. The simple pshat with the women that gathered by the opening of Oil Ma'id, by the door of Oil Ma'id. The Eli Zokin Ma'id, the Mitzudas tells us over here that this is a bit of a limud schus on Eli Akoyin, that since he got older and he became very weak, so he wasn't in on his children that much. He didn't have that much of a koyach on his sons. And memele, he could not really give them that musr like a younger parent could do that could be tougher with his children. He was already very old. He didn't have that koyach over his children. The Radak says over here that Eli no longer actively served in the kahuna. He was a general masgiach, but because he was very old, he wasn't actively involved in the kahuna itself. And even though he asks, we know that zikna, old age, is not possible by a kohen. But if he's that old that his hands start shaking, then he becomes possible. So eli zokin moiz, that means he wasn't actively involved in the kohuna. Even though it's masmer from the psukim later on that eli was there, he was an overseer, but actively in the kohuna he wasn't involved. Asher Yasun Bonov L'chol Yisroel, we already mentioned their Aveira, that they abused their privileges with the Korbanos. I saw brought down in the Sefer Nachlas Shimon, the same that Amudayor, that the Bnei Eli made a genuine mistake in Halacha, because they thought, number one, I remember I explained that by regular Chulindika animals, the Matnei Skuluna are the Zroya L'chayayim and the Keva. That is the foreleg, and the lechayim is the jaw, part of the face of the animal, and the keva is the stomach. But that doesn't apply to kashrimdika animals. By kashrimdika animals, by korbanis, they get the chaza and the shaykh, the breast and the shank bone with the meat around it. And they mistakenly took the zroya lechayim and keva by korbanis as well. That was number one. A second mistake that they made was that al pi halacha they are not allowed to take their portion before the fats are burned on the mizbeach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets his chelik, then he shares the chelik with the kohanim, nishulchem gavoya kazochu, their zeiche from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gives them a chelik of his su'udah. But they're not allowed to take before the fats are burnt. They mistakenly thought that after the zrikas adam, they're allowed to take. So he claims that it was, the Amudayar says it was a shoygeg. And he's mechiach it from the pasuk, because the lashon of the pasuk is later on, the lashon of the pasuk before was, vayichatas hanorim gedayla. The word chayt usually applies to shoygeg. Memela, he says that it was a shoygeg on their part, but that in itself was a taina on them. A person that's a kohen, a person that functions in the Beis HaMikdash, has to know the halach is klar. And here this was a terrible, terrible aveira, in addition to the fact that it was a chilul Hashem. Asher yishkivun es hanoshim hatzoivos pesach oil mayed. They committed znus with the women that were gathering by the opening of oil mayed. Rashi over here brings down two pshatim. Pirush Rashi, kimashmoi, either the simple pshat in the pasuk, the Rabbi Seinu Amru, over the Chachamim said, mitoich sheshohu es kinehen, because they delayed in bringing the pair, the Shtei Soirim, or Shtei B'nei Yayna, when the women were either a Zava or a Yeledes, there's a Chiv to bring two birds as a carbon. And they were lax in bringing it. Why? It wasn't such a profitable carbon for them. They used to get these big animals, and they used to take as much as they wanted from the animals. It was much more profitable for them. Two little birds was not such an enticing thing. So it came to bring their carbonas, the women's carbonas, they left them waiting over there. And they used to have to wait until they make sure that their carbonas were brought. So the Navi considers it as if they were mizana with them. Why exactly, we'll see soon. So we have a machlokes over here, if you could take the pasuk kipshutai, or is it just a lesser aveira, which the Navi magnifies a bit. The makor of this machlokes is the Gemara in the Sech, the Shabbos, Daf Nun Hei Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Amar of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar of Yochanan. Ko ha'omer b'nei Eli chotu, anyone that says that the b'nei Eli were over on an Isra of Znus, he's making a mistake. Rashi says, of course they did Averis, because the Navi says clearly that they did Averis. But whoever thinks that literally, they take the pasuk literally, that they were over on the Isra of Eishesish, is making a mistake. Bizayin Kachin, yes. Gzeila of the Korbanis, maybe yes. But to say that they were over on Znus, that not. Shenamah, they learn it out of a pasuk. It says in the beginning of the Navi, Vishom Shnei B'nei Eli, Chofni Upinchas Kehanim LaHashem. So, the Gemara makes a hekish. Just like Pinchas did not do an Aveira. Because later on, the Torah makes their Miyachas, the son of Pinchas, after Pinchas, is assuming Pinchas was in Tzadik. So, Chofni also did not do an Aveira. The Gemara in Masechtas Yuma says, Naftes, Amr of Yochanan ben Tirza, why was Mishkan Shiloh Choriv? B'nei Shehoyu bo Beis Dvarim. It had two major Aveiras, Gili Arayas u'Bizayin Kachem. The Gemara says, "Beferish over here, there was Gili Arayas. The
Gemara asks a kasha, but what do you mean? Shmuel bar Nachmeni says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that the Bnei Eri didn't really do an Aveira, but the Torah considers it as if there was Gili Arayis. Now, in this Gemara in Yuma, the Rishonim bring down, some people are Geiris who plead it. It argues on Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni. And Enoch Inami, the Gemara in Masechtas Yuma that says that there was Gili Arayis, argues on Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni. So you really have two shitas over here. Was there actualness that took place, or was there no real actualness that took place? So you have to understand, Chat, if Yitaka learned that the Bnei Eli weren't literally Mizana, they weren't over on this Isser, what in the world is holding back the karbonis of the women have to do with Znus? I mean, the Torah should have said they were over on Zela. The Torah should have said they were over on Shmir Shabbos. Like, why does the Navi say they were over on Znus? So here there are various pshatim. What the connection is between delaying the kinim, delaying the karbonis of the women to Znus. The Malbim says that there was literal Znus over here, but not inside the Bnei Eli, because they kept the women waiting, and they were waiting and waiting and waiting in front of the Eil Mayed. And there were other people waiting to bring their karbonis. The male, the women were not where they were supposed to be at their homes, kokfuda bas melech benima. And the male, there was a mingling of the genders, and that ended up with Baraveir. So according to the Malbim, the Bnei Eli weren't actually involved in this themselves, but their action of delaying the karbonis was a gairim that Znus took place. That's the pshat of the Malbim. There's another pshat. The Pirish Harif on the Ein Yankiv says that because they were so involved in taking as much meat as possible, like we said, they didn't bring the karbonas, the small karbonas they didn't want to bring. So Yishkubun es hanoshim pesach ha'il mayed is not the pshat Yishkubun aloshin of Znus. Yishkubun is aloshin, they kept them sleeping in front of ha'il mayed. Yishkubun from aloshin of they slept in front of ha'il mayed, which was not a sneer's dicker thing. It was a chilul of the covet of Nashim, which really is tantamount, that's really a chelik of what Znus is. It's mechal of the kedusha of Nashim, but it was also a design for Ayel Mayeh. They had people sleeping in front of Ayel Mayeh. It sounds like the people that sleep outside of Yankee Stadium waiting for tickets for the World Series, right? The Havdalah of Havdalahs, or the Jets game. Anyway, there's another shot over here. There's another shot over here. What shaykh has this had to the Inyan of Znus, which the Marami Prag says? In the Inyan of Znus, there are two Inyanim. There is an Inyan of being Mechalal and Eishes Ish. That's one Inyan. But there's also an Inyan of Gzela, overstepping one's bounds. And going to something which is beyond a wall, beyond a boundary that a person should not cross. The fact that the actions of the Bnei Eli affected an Eishes Ish is already overstepping their bounds. And those, Hagam they talk with Amazon, and Hagam they had no kavanah for Znus or whatever. But the fact that it held back an Eishes Ish from her husband, because the women would not return to their husbands until they knew that their karbanas were brought. So they held back the women from their husbands. It was a kind of an eifin of gzela of women from their husbands. And because they were supposed to be people of a higher caliber, the Navi magnifies their Aveira as if it would have been Znus, but it wasn't Mamish Znus. Now the Be'er Moshe over here has a whole different mahalach in what the Aveira of the Bnei Eli were. He says, Bechlal, the Bnei Eli were not involved. Not only were they not involved in Znus, but they weren't even involved in the Karbonis, the snatching of the Karbonis. They weren't involved in anything. The total Aveira was that they did not make a Machah, they weren't Meiche against the people that did. He says, if you look at the Pasuk, we learned last time, it says, Ubon Na'ar HaKohen. The attendant of the Kohen would come and stick his fork into the carbon. Ubon Na'ar HaKohen. And it says again, Na'ar HaKohen. So we type Shkipshutai that they were agents of Chofni and Pinchas, and they were like Shluchim to bring them the meat of the Karbonis. But the Be'er Moshe teaches, it was the Na'orim, it was the young Kehanim that were involved in this. And Chofni and Pinchas of Bnei Eli were not involved in that. The Iker Tain on them was that they knew about it and they did not make a Machor. They knew about it, and the Be'er Moshe says, take a look how great is the Aveira of silence. When it's important to make a Machor, when it's important to stand up and say that what's going on is not right, take a look how great is the Avera of silence. Silence can cause tremendous havoc. I mean, that's all we have, you know, in our history, unfortunately. We've seen how the world was silent when the Rishon Yemachshem of the Zichron, they were marching on Europe, and people were silent, and Neville Chamberlain came up with his appeasement policy, and we saw what Churban that caused for us. And throughout the years, we suffered from silence. In Ruchnius, it's the same thing. When somebody has to make a machor, and he doesn't make that machor, that causes tremendous hefsid and chilul Hashem, and it caused irreparable damage to Klal Yisrael. Because if you'll remember, we mentioned last year in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, that one of the reasons why Elkanah had to go around from place to place to gather Yidden to come back to the Beis HaMikdash, because people were disillusioned. So we're going to go to the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to go to Shilai, when the bigwigs over there, they're corrupt and they take korbanos or whatever. So the silence caused the masses to scream away from the Beis HaMikdash. Elkanah had to single-handedly bring them back, and the fact that they were quiet caused tremendous damage. So Eli himself was punished because he did not give Teichoche to his sons. Hagam will see soon that he gave Teichoche, but it was too slight. What he should have done was, he should have dismissed them from their position. A president that has people on the cabinet, and the people are openly making mistakes that threatens the security of the country, they'll be fired pretty quickly. And a Beis HaMikdash, which is the central command post of the entire world, he should have fired them completely. The Rav Yehuda HaChosid in Sefer Chassidim brings down that there was a Zaken that lived in his area. There was a Talmud Chochem and a Tzaddik. And every year he would daven for the Yomid Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But one year, he decided, that's it, I'm not davening. Everybody asked him, why not? You know, we want a person like you, someone that's Mubcher, to daven for the Yomid. So he says, I see that my time is coming. And I'm afraid that if I continue to daven, and I'll be the last one to daven for the Yomid, my son is going to want to take over for me. My son is not right for this. Memela, I want to avoid any problems. I want you to pick a Talmud Chacham in the year of Shemayim now. He'll take over. So when I leave this world, there won't be any question. There won't be any problem. He says, that's the pshat. If you're not close, it says that that's the pshat in the pasuk over here. Eli shouldn't have stam used words to be my chiyach them. Eli should have right away either removed himself from the position or openly remove his children from the position before they can cause any more damage. And he says the ikur taina on Eli was that there was a lack of teichach. Then he brings down a nifludikathing, a little bit touching al pi kabbalah. The Ramami Panu, one of the Digma Kubalim, says a davar nifla that Chofni and Pinchas, they were gilgulim of Nadav and Aviv. Nadav and Aviv were Kahanim and Aaron. They were Nifter. Chofni and Pinchas were Gilgulim of Nadav and Aviv. If you look at the letters of the name Chofni and the letters of the name Pinchas, they're exactly the same letters. Chofni is missing a pei, and Pinchas is missing a yud. But they're the exact letters. He says, what's the pshat? He says, Chofni is missing the samach, rather. Chofni is missing the samach, and Pinchas is missing the yud. He says, Chofni is missing the samach because he was lazy. Chofni was lazy. He didn't want to bring the karbonis. He was the one that was choyte in not bringing the karbonis. The samach stands for, the Gemara says, Soymach Hashem l'chol anoiflam. Samach is Soymach Hashem l'chol anoiflam. And he fell into a massive of atzlus. He wasn't willing to bring the karbonis that didn't suit him. Memela, he lost the samach. Pinchas Bemis, as the Gemara says, was a tzadik gomer. But since he didn't chastise his brother, he's missing the extra mila of the yud. Yud is a symbol of zrizus and extra mila. Later on, Takir, we find that Pinchas was given the yud, because Pinchas be'etzim was a tzadik. No, b'shas the aveira, he didn't give teichochet to his brother Chofni, so the yud was taken away from him. But Pinchas was a total tzadik. And Chofni himself also, it's mashma, wasn't such a terrible, terrible, terrible person. He says that Chofni and Pinchas took over some of the feelings of Nadav and Aviv. Why was Chofni so zoris to eat the karbonis? Because Nadav and Aviv, they shechted karbonis and they never had a chance to eat them. Memela, the neshama of Chofni, He had that taiva. He wanted to eat that carbon. And they had that constant taiva to eat the carbon. Mimele, he was overzealous in the eating of the carbon. And that is why he was, he was over on this aveira. That was his mistake. And also, there was a little bit of a leftover laziness from Nadav and Avihu on the part of Chofni and Pinchas. Nadav and Avihu, Chazal tell us, were lazy. They didn't want to get married and have the burden of raising a family. So here there was a laziness on the part of Chofni that he didn't bring the Karbonis of the Nashim. So you see a little bit of a residue of the Neshamas of Nadav and Avihu, and they were affected over here. Because of the lack of Teichachir, Klal Yisrael suffered tremendously, because we're going to see the aftermath of this. Klal Yisrael went out to war against the Pelishtim because of the chait of Chofni and Pinchas, and that's when a lot of them got killed, and that's when the Aron was taken captive. This was all a Pael Yaitza over the fact that Teichachu was not given when it had to be given. A lot of times, you know, people, they don't want to give Teichachu because they're afraid. Maybe I have to mind my own business. Maybe it's going to upset the person. And maybe, you know, who knows, it's going to cause more machlokes. But we have to know. Everything has its time and its place. And versteitzich, it has to be done in a very, very efficient way. And it has to be done with seichel. It takes a lot of thought before a person gives teichachet. But the lack of teichachet can cause tremendous churban. The meisa with the shapsei tzvi. The terrible, terrible story with the Shabsai Tzvi that caused such terrible, terrible churban in Klal Yisrael. There were a lot of Tadayim that were aware of the fact that he could cause churban. They didn't want to say anything because they didn't want to start Machlokes. There was one Gadol by the name of Rav Yaakov Sespartas. He was the one Yachid that stood up and he called out to them, "Why is nobody supporting me?" You know, he brought riots from the Rambam that this cannot be the Mashiach and it's going to cause churban. He had kama v'kama riots. There were many people that felt, you're right, but afalpika, we don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to cause more machloikas. And the end result was, of course, terrible, terrible, terrible hefsid, how people went off to derech. There were many that became Muslims and many became Christians. Ad hayayim hazeh, you have a community in Turkey of 40,000 followers of the Shabsai Tzvi that claim that they're half Jewish and half Muslim. So this is the churban that was caused by not making a machor. You have to speak out. You have to make a machor. For shteitzer, it has to be done al pidarki teira. There's an art of giving teichacha. But this is the lesson that we learn when people are silent when they're supposed to speak out. That Chazal say, mitoich sheshohu es kinehem, because Chofni and Pinchas, they were lax in bringing the karbonis of the women. Rashi elaborates. He says they didn't want to bring the karbonis, right? And then when the women used to come from other places to Shiloh, they would wait over there because they didn't want to rely on Chofni and Pinchas. They didn't trust Chofni and Pinchas that they would be makrivit. So they waited there until they knew for a fact that Chofni and Pinchas had brought it. Now, mevur from this Rashi, that al-Pidin, the women didn't have to wait there and see the korbanos being brought. If they would be able to trust the kehanim, then they'd be able to leave it here and go on their way. But al-Pidin it's mashma that they were not mechuyev to wait over here. So let's understand this halacha, because this in itself is a halacha. The Mishnah in Masechtas Tainis Dav Chavav Amaral says the following. Elu hein ma'amodos. These are what ma'amodos are. Ma'amodos was a mishmar of people that used to wait and daven over the korbanos. Because it says in the pasuk, Tzav is b'nei Yisrael, command of b'nei Yisrael, v'omarta aleim es korboni lachmi. Now how could a person bring a korban if he's not standing there? A person should just bring a carbon and he's not there. The whole idea of bringing a carbon is to build a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how is it possible to bring a carbon and not to stand there? So the Chachamim, the carbon Tamid, is the carbon of Klal Yisrael. It's a carbon Tzibur that every individual has a chelek in. So the Nevi'im HaRishonim were Mesakin, 24 Mishmarais of Kehanim. And for every Mishmar, there were Yisraelim that were davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They used to fast 4 days a week. And they used to lay in the Maisa Bereshis, which instilled the Amunah. We believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and our Karbonis are the relationship that we have with them in maintaining the running of the world. Those were the Ma'amodos where they stood on the Karbon, and they davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Karbon should be Oyle Beras. Rashi in Masechet Yuma Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis says that the people of the Mishmer of Yisrael, they were the shluchim of the Tzibur. Where do you know this? From the word Tishmeru Lahakrivli. They have to stand on guard to be makrav from either korban. Mitzvah Sheyu Mishamrim Va'ayindam Al Korbanim Hachidarish Lei B'Sifri and Masechet Tainus. So it's mashmish to Dinat Torah. Tishmeru, you have to guard the korban. You have to be oimid ala korban when that korban is being brought. Now, this pasuk tishmeru is said by the korban tamid, and from other places it's mashma that even by the korbanos of yechidim, there's a mitzvah that the bialim should be standing there. From the word tishmeru, the Shagasari in the Sefer Gburus Ari asks a question: how could you learn from the word tishmeru that all over by korbanos of yechidim, they also have to be standing there? If by, this is talking about a carbon tumid. A carbon tumid is a chumadika carbon. The whole thing was burnt on the Mizbeah. It's also a carbon tibur. And we don't learn a carbon yachid from a carbon tibur generally. So how can you say that we learn from over here that every yachid has to be standing on their carbon? So the Gvura Zaritaki says that ain't a chinami, mi'ikar adin, by a carbon yachid, the Bailam does not have to be standing there b'shas ma'isa. This is just an asnachta b'yalma. It's a remez b'yalma. If you see that the Ratzon HaBeira is that the Bailam should bring a carbon and stand there, not just, you know, leave it behind. So by a carbon yachid, agam it's not a chiyuv, but that is the Ratzon HaBeira that the Bailam should be standing there. But mi'ikar adin, it's not a chiyuv mi'ikar adin. The Gemara in Masechet is Erevin, it's also mashma that there's no chiyuv for the Bailam to be standing there. Tanya, it says over there, Ha'isha she'esha le'haleda oiziva, a woman that was bringing a carbon yeledes, or a carbon for a zava, she brings money, she puts it into the shofar. They used to have a pushkin that looked like a shofar. She put it into the shofar, she's tovel in the mikveh, she can eat kachim, and that's it. She doesn't have to make sure that the carbon was brought. My timer, what's the reason? She doesn't have to wait for the carbon to be brought. She can be samech on the chazakeh, shliach oisa shlichusay. So again, you see from over here, it's not ma'akiv that the bialim has to be standing there, which is what Rashi says over here by the women, by Mishkan Shiloh. Not that they were waiting over there because al pidin they were mechuyev to wait there. They just simply did not trust the kohanim. There was a bad name going out on the kohanim, and they wanted to make sure that the korbanos were brought. Next pasuk, Vayomer lohem, and he said to them, Lomo tasun kadvorim ha'ela. Why are you committing like these things? Asher anoichi shameya es divrechem roim meyes kol ha'am ha'ela. That I hear the maizim, the bad words against you from this entire nation. Lomo tasun kadvorim ha'ela. Like these things. What does that mean? What is the chot hadimion over here? Should have said, why are you doing these things? What does it mean, like these things? So the Malvim learns pshat, even if you'll tell me that they magnified the Aveira a little bit, even if you're going to tell me that the derech is that when people spread rumors, it's a lot worse than it really was. But if you did even a little bit of that, like these things, that were gairim these rumors, that in itself is a terrible thing. Shlomo Melech says, Hoser mimcho ikshus peh. Remove from yourself the crookedness of people's mouths. Further away from you the movement of people's lips. So even if it's just kadvarim ha'ela, even if it's not mamish these words, over with their smoke, there's fire. There must be something to their words. Memela, why did you even do things that are daima to this? It says harchek min hakiur u min hadaima loy. You have to be marrying yourself from something which is ugly and something that's even diamond to that. You don't want people talking about you. Also, it could be that there's a remez over here because Chazal say, Kolayim Rav Ne'evi Chotu, people that say that they mamish did the Aveira in Elotaya. So it was only Kadvarim or Ela, it was Me'ein Oysam Advarim, something that was tantamount to that. Now, Asher Anoichi Shemeya, as Devrechem Roem Me'ez Kol Ha'am Ela. Over here also, the Mepharshim say, Asher Anoichi Shemeya. What's the Asher Anoichi Shemeya? You should have said that the people speak. What's the Anoichi Shemeya? If I wouldn't be hearing about it, then you could say that the people that talk about it are the Reikim, the Yishvei Kronos.
But the people that I associate with are the people that are usually the higher echelons of Klal Yisrael. If it's Anoichi Shemeya, meaning the people that talk with me, they bring me the word, then you could be assured it's not the Yeshve Kronos, it's people in the higher levels of Klal Yisrael. And also, may Eish Kol Ha'om Eile, if it would be a few people speaking about it, so then you could say it's only a few people. Meis Kol Ha'om Eile, the entire nation, has Talmidei Chachamim, the entire nation also has Tzadikim. If they're talking about it, then that's a siman already. There must be some truth to it. Albonoi, know my sons, ki loy teiva hashmua, asher anoichi shemeya ma'avirim am Hashem. The rumors that I hear are no good, that ma'avirim am Hashem. There's a couple of pshatim in ma'avirim am Hashem. The Radak says that ma'avirim am Hashem means that you are causing the nation of Hashem, you're causing them to pass over Oil Mayid and not to come to the Oil Mayid. Like we mentioned before, because the Yidden heard that there was corruption in Oil Mayid, it made them go away from Oil Mayid. So Ma'avirim Am Hashem is going, you're holding them back from coming to Oil Mayid. The Radak also says another pshat, Ma'avirim Am Hashem, you're causing the nation of Klal Yisrael to pass bad words against you. Right, Ma'avirim Am Hashem is going on the words that are caused to be spoken against you. That's Ma'avirim Am Hashem. The simple pshat in Albonoi, know my sons, do not continue on your ways. But the Abarbanel and the Al-Shech HaKadosh, they say a very sharp avart over here. Albonoi, you are not my children. Albonoi, you are not my children. What's the pshat? The word ben comes from the word binyan, a building. The son builds on the foundation of the previous generation. Every generation adds to the generation before it. The parents are the foundation of the family. So if the child follows in the ways and the footsteps of the father, he is a ben, he is a binyan, and he's continuing the legacy of his father. But if lehepach, you're being mechal of that which I worked for my whole life I worked in the Beis HaMikdash, my whole life I worked to be mechadosh Shem Shamayim, and now you're destroying that, then you're not my son. You're my son genealogically, you know, physically you're my son, but spiritually, in a ruchniyazik way, you're not my son. There's a saying, you know, the famous saying, that Yichus is like a bunch of zeros. If it has the one in front of it, if it has the number in front of it, it's a vast number, because Yichus is something. Because there's a certain legacy that's passed down from father to son, and if it's Taka, an elevated family, it goes over Midar Dar. Taka is something. But you have to have the one in front of it. If you don't have the one in front of it, then all that remains is a bunch of zeros. So, Al Banoi, you are not my children. If you're not carrying on my legacy, and you're not being Mekadosh Shem Shamayim, that's not the binyan that I built. That's not the foundation that I laid over here. Memeli said, you are not my children. Agutavach, everybody. I just was asked to mention that next week, Meretz Hashem, the night that the Beis Medrash is holding a Malava Malka, I think it's the first Malava Malka that they're having. It's going to be in L'Chaim Manor, and everyone is asked to attend. It's a wonderful, wonderful program, and it encourages Limud HaTorah in a very, very high madrega. The shiurim that come from it also are all sponsored by the Night Seder program, so everybody's please asked to attend. Good to talk, everybody. Good to talk.